Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. This is Kat, and welcome to tonight's edition of Let's Talk About It. So let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever reached a point in your life, and some of you have, and some of you maybe not yet, and maybe some of you multiple times, where you have to start over? Whether it's starting in a new relationship, if you're starting in a new career, if things change, you know, you're starting over. In today's economic situation, there's a lot of reasons that we're forced to start our lives over, or some segment of our lives are starting over. Maybe employment. As you know, I was with a company for a little over 16 years, and they did a reorganization, and my position was eliminated. In other words, they did not need me anymore. They didn't need my entire team anymore, according to this new organization. So that meant, for the first time in a very long time, I'm forced out into the job market and looking for a new job and basically starting over, starting from scratch. There were several years ago where I ended my marriage. I walked away from my marriage. And that meant stepping into a new phase of life and, once again, starting over, starting from scratch. But you have to think that if you're in a situation, a marriage, a relationship, a job, your home, and you've been there for some period of time, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, maybe even more, and now you're moving on to something new, it's not the way it was when you were there originally. And it's something that we don't really think about until we're forced into a situation. When it comes time to start over, the world is brand new. When I left my marriage and I got on my own, I'm single for the first time, actually in 18 years, dating was something totally new. Things have changed. The mindset has changed. Think about the person who was incarcerated for that same period of time, for 18 years. The difference in the world today as opposed to the difference what the world was like when they first went into incarceration. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling marriage incarceration. But what I'm saying is when you are taking out of or when you step out of a certain situation and you're not privy to how far that lifestyle has come, the changes, the day-to-day, the how people interact with one another, how we spend our time, who we spend our time with, the types of dialogue that's involved. It's not the same. It is not the same now as it was then. It's not the world that you remember. Prior to my last employer, I had been gainfully employed in a different field. I worked in the airline industry for quite a few years. Became very good at what I did. Began teaching what it is that I did. So going into telecom was something totally different. It was a unique animal unto itself. I had to start at the beginning. I was no longer the subject matter expert. I was no longer tenured. I was no longer skilled. I no longer had seniority. So I had to start all over. And it wasn't hard to do, because I was like a sponge taking in all of this information before deciding that I got this, let me fly on my own. When I got back into the dating world, when I started dating again, that was a little different because there is no instructor. There is no training manual. You just have to get out there, and it is trial and error. And let me tell you, it is a whole lot of trial and quite a bit of error. But when you're forced into these situations, whether it is the end of a relationship, the beginning of a new relationship, the end of one career and the beginning of another career, any lifestyle change, the one thing that is extremely important to know, it's not hopscotch. You can't jump from one thing and directly into the next and expect that there will be smooth sailing. Please, please, please do your research. Take the time to figure out where it is that I'm going, why it is that I want to go there, and how it is that I'm going to get there. You have to make a plan. You have to set up a time frame. Now, some things, setting up the time frame is not going to work because you don't really know what that time frame is. It's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to change careers and I'm going to leave this job and within 6 months I'm going to be doing A, B, or C. It's not a bad plan, but will that really work? Because theory and reality are not one and the same. So it's good to make a plan. It's recommended. I highly recommend making a plan. But leave yourself room to change and alter that plan as necessary. I recently watched a movie where two older gentlemen took it upon themselves to, they were going to walk from one end of the Appalachian Trail to the other. Now, both of them had done quite a bit of hiking in their youth. They were well prepared for what is involved and how far it is that we have to go and where we're going to start and where we're going to end up and what equipment we're going to need along the way. And they had a plan. But believe me, that plan did not go as planned. They could not calculate the freak weather conditions that came along during their trip. They did not take into consideration that when they went hiking before and they would go on these long ventures, they were much younger. They were physically in a different place. Their capabilities were totally different than what they are now at this stage in life. They didn't take into effect the people that they would meet along the way. They didn't take into effect the circumstances that they weren't prepared for, or the wild animals whose paths they would cross. They didn't take into effect the stumbles, the falls, the mishaps. They, at one point, they even fell off of the trail onto a ledge that they couldn't get themselves out of. They needed help to get back on the trail. In life, when you are starting a new path, whether you are beginning something new or whether you are starting over, it is good to have a plan. But it is also imperative that you know plans don't always go as planned. So not only do we have to have a backup plan, but we have to be mentally, we have to be physically, and we have to be spiritually prepared for anything that comes up. You have to be in a position to change direction at any point in your plan, right? That's the only way that you're going to get through this. Know you are going to stumble and you are going to fall. Know that you are going to have setbacks. But you know what? That's okay. know that you're going to meet people along the way that will criticize, critique, and tear apart your plan and tell you all of the different ways that this plan cannot possibly work. But you know what? That's okay. You're going to have people in your life that you trust and you listen to the most, that you respect the most, who will tell you, you cannot succeed on this plan. Let me come up with a plan for you. But you know what? That's okay, too. Because, one, for the most part, they're doing it because they care. And they want to see you succeed. But please understand that there are people in your life that you love, that you trust, that you respect, who don't want to see you succeed. And they don't want to see you forge a new plan because they have never been able to come up with a plan of their own. So why should you do something that they weren't able to do? So know that these things will happen. Know that your biggest, harshest critic of all, yourself, will come up with a million different ways and reasons of why your plan shouldn't work. And that is okay, too. You see, doubt should never stop your plan. Doubt should cause you to re-examine, to review, and to renew your plan. See, everybody hears that word doubt and they think, oh, this is a bad thing. This is a cause to pause. When that's not necessarily true. When I left my job, it was devastating. You know, here I am. I'm a single woman. I own my own home. I have two little boys that I take care of. I have other people that are dependent on me. So if I'm not working, now what? What am I supposed to do? You know, initially, oh, this is not a problem. I've never been unemployed my entire life. So it'll be easy. I'll just go out there and get another job, and that's no problem. But my plan was not the plan that others had. They weren't a privy to my plan, so they couldn't go along with, you know, I'm putting in applications, I'm going on interviews. And for the first time in my life, people are telling me no. I'm not used to that. I've never heard that before. But people are telling me no. People are telling me no. You're overqualified. No, because you might want more money than what we have to offer. They're saying no, because if we hire you, you're not going to stay. See, they're making judgment based on who they are without taking the time to get to know who I am. And that's quite all right. The bad part of that is when you're constantly hearing these no's, you begin to question, why not? What's wrong with me? What am I missing? What am I lacking? What am I doing wrong? Is there something that I should be doing that I'm not doing? So you begin to question who you are. You begin to question what you are. You begin to question why you are, how you are. And that's when that doubt kicks in. For me, that doubt was a wake-up call. I had to really sit back and think about who I am, and I realized that for almost 20 years, I was a worker. My entire existence focused on getting up every day and going to work. I was a little worker bee. Have you ever seen how worker bees, how hard they work? They're on a mission. They have a plan. They know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it, and they work in unison, and they work so hard, day in and day out until they die. Answer the same way. Answer your teaching to what they do, and they work so hard, day in and day out until they die. But you see, that was me. I was going to work. I was getting up early to get a kickstart on my day. I had planners for my planners. I had more post-it notes and to-do lists than any one person should ever have. But that's what I did because I've always been that person to work hard, to try to please people. My existence was built on climbing the corporate ladder of chasing that thing called success, but never appreciating how successful I actually was. See, we have to determine our successes. We can never let someone else determine it for us. We have to say, I am proud of me. I am proud of who I am, and I am proud of what I have achieved. We have to set the plan for our lives and not allow someone else to set it for us. I spent a lifetime living up to someone else's expectations and never creating expectations for myself. So when the marriage was over, it took a while to realize that's okay. That chapter is over, but it's not the end of the book. Now we go to the next chapter in our life. And it took a lot of time. It took a lot of tears. It took a lot of thought. It took a lot of reflection. In the stage of my life where my career changed, it was the same thing. It forced me to reflect upon who I am and where it is that I wanted to go. When you are in the midst of something, whether it is the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, or the most important loss of all, the loss of self, because we do tend to lose our sense of self. You need to replace the word loss with opportunity. The loss of a loved one is one of the hardest things that we will ever endure in life. And it was just years ago today that I lost my dad. And that man was my best friend. But what I gained through his loss is I picked up the pieces of me and I recapped all of the lessons that he taught me and everything that he instilled within me, and I moved forward. That was my opportunity to make him proud, to show him I heard you, I was listening. So, yes, it was extremely painful, yet it was an opportunity, and I seized it with both hands. And it was actually the loss of my dad that made me open my eyes to how I was living my life and made me question whether or not I was happy. And the answers that came of that is what propelled me to walk away from my marriage. See, through that loss, I found growth. When I walked away from my marriage, it was the scariest thing that I've ever done because for the first time in my entire life, I was living alone. And I had no family here, didn't know what to do. So I immersed myself into work even more, which was okay at the time, but that should have been for a short period of time. It should not have been the duration that it was. And now, what I had to learn was who I was as a person outside of being a mother, outside of being a wife, outside of being an employee, outside of being a friend. Being alone taught me to sit back and get to know Carol. I had to figure out who I wanted to be, where it is that I wanted life to take me, and how it was that I would get there. So that took a while. And it took a lot of asking some really hard questions that I never thought to ask of myself before. And it took being brutally honest with myself to get to my truth. But once I did that, it was an epiphany. It was like the world came to life. There was a realization at that point that there was so much in life that I had never experienced. There's so much in life that I had never done. There's so much that I didn't know. And it's almost like being a child, and you want to find out. You want to experience it. There was so much right here in my own backyard that I've never seen. I've lived here for almost 20 years, but I had never been to downtown D.C., never been to Georgetown, never been to Gaithersburg or Rockville. There was so much to see and explore. You know, definitely had never made my way to Northern Virginia. And I made it my mission that every weekend I was going to go somewhere that I've never been. I was going to do something I've never done. And it was like an adventure. And I felt like the old man must have felt when he woke up after 20 years, like the world has totally changed. Some things I found, okay, been there, done that, and wasn't exactly what I expected, or it wasn't for me. Other things I found that I totally love, and I look forward to doing again. And that's really what it is. And that's sometimes when I hear people talk about starting over, they're like, oh, God, here we go. I got to start all over again. Think of it if you were running the Boston Marathon and someone told you, oops, detour, we're going to need you to go back to the starting line. Well, guess what? It's not as bad as you may think, because you've already run a good bit of that race. You know where the hills are and the curves are. It's not new. So it's going to be a whole lot easier. You're going to hit some points in the road that you've never seen, and it's new and it's unexpected, and the hill might be a little harder than what you've trained for. Guess what? That's okay. That's perfectly fine. You may be running as hard as you can and you have no more energy and you feel like your insides are going to fall out of you. and you feel like your heart is going to explode and you're going to die, you're never going to make it to the end, well, guess what? That's okay. You can feel that way as long as you don't stay that way. See, we tend to talk ourselves out of moving forward. We tend to talk ourselves out of seeing the rainbow at the end of the storm. Or we tend to believe that we're stuck in the midnight hour when it can't get any darker and it can't get any colder. We tend to believe that the sun is never going to come again, but the sun comes up faithfully every single day. No matter what, no matter how dark it is, the light comes back. You just have to get there. And the way to get there is one step at a time. And if you can't step, then you stop. Then you catch your breath, then you crawl if you have to. But it's okay. You have to tell yourself, I'm okay. I can do this. I will do this. And no matter what, I'm going to make it. Will you doubt yourself? Where you say, you know what, Kat, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know my struggle, you don't know my pain. You're right, I don't know your struggle, and I don't know your pain. But I know that tomorrow is just a few hours away, that you can get there if you so choose. But it's up to you. Nobody can really tell you how to start over or how to make a new start. They can give you suggestions. They can tell you the path that they took. But another person's path is not your path. So many, you see so many that I get emails and messages and texts all day long with people with these get-rich-quick scheme. Oh, I'm going to be a multi-level marketer, and I'm going to do this, and you know what? Girl, if you give me $650, you know, I could make you rich, and I can help you with this, and I can do that. I'm going to be the next Bill Gates. Why do you want to be the imitation of somebody else? Regardless of who that person is, regardless of how much they have, regardless of how well they are known as their celebrity, why would you want to be an imitation? Focus on being an original. I don't need Bill Gates' money, and I don't want Bill Gates' problems. I don't need to spend my life, my time, my energy trying to be an imitation of Beyonce when I can take that same time and energy being the best me. And if nobody else has ever told you, then let me tell you now, you are an original. You were created an original. You have a gift that Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Beyonce, Oprah will never have, because that gift is unique to you. So find that gift, hone that gift, nurture it, love it, be proud of who you are, and stop trying to be an imitation of someone else. Those who know me and love me know I love handbags. I'm the handbag queen. And I always say that I don't do imitation. But then there came a time when I even looked at, is it really necessary to have the latest Hermes bag or Louis Vuitton bag or Michael Kors and Jimmy Choo. What difference does it make? You have to find what works for you. You have to find what you enjoy, what you love. You know, a lot of people, they talk about my bags, but look at my Louis Vuitton bags I've had for over 30 years. So, it's all about the quality of life. If you're in a position where you're forced into a new start, embrace it, go for it, make your plan. Know that you're going to have triumph and you're going to have pitfalls. But that's okay. And I tell you, with a good heart, put on a smile, even if you have to fake it till you make it. Just know that you will make it. It's up to you to see your end game. It's up to you to talk your way through. You can do this. I want you to take the words "I can't" out of your vocabulary. And some days it's harder than others to do that. I know myself, especially in recent months, even in recent weeks, I felt like I can't. I felt like I'm a failure. I had totally failed. But one thing I have figured out is I don't do failure very well. So if you know, like I know, that you're not that good at failure, then it's time for your next success. We can do this together, but the journey is all yours. People will be there for part of your journey. They may only be there for a few steps, or they may be there for a few months. But in the end, it's all yours. And nobody has to understand it but you. Think about it. Take it one step at a time. Take it one day at a time, just as long as you take it. And there's going to be times when, you know what, you got to stop and take a break. That's okay. It's your journey. And you'll know when you've reached the end of it. Until then, you just got to keep on moving. So before I close tonight, I want to give a shout-out to the memory of my dad. And I want to say, Pop, I love you. I'm always thinking of you. And thank you for the lessons that you've shown me. Thank you for teaching me how to smile when I really want to cry. Thank you for instilling in me the strength to move forward. And I also want to acknowledge the death yesterday of Denise Matthews, better known as Vanity. One of the most beautiful, beautiful women of all time. She was a pioneer. She forged her journey and broke down so many barriers. I mean, when you think back to the late 80s, early 90s, you didn't see a lot of black women doing what Denise did. She broke out in music as a protege. She broke out in videos. Denise was the first black woman to do the cover of Playboy. And she did it, she was on Playboy multiple times. She broke down the color barriers in so many different ways. But one thing about Denise is she always stood up to being herself. She didn't let Hollywood change her. She didn't let the music industry change her. And it was a hard fight. It was a difficult fight. There were some, she didn't have pitfalls. She fell into an abyss. But she climbed out of it. She relied on her faith. She became a minister. And she had been suffering from serious health issues for many, many, many years. Denise, I'm a fan. Always have been. Rest in peace. Well, that's our show, love. We'll be back next Tuesday and every Tuesday after that. Feel free to join in the discussion. Just give us a call. You can also follow me on Facebook under It's My Life, Now What? And I hope to talk to you soon. If you have something on your mind, send me a message on Facebook or on Twitter. And in the meantime, let's talk about it. Good night.